What's that? Oh. Is that part of tonight, Al Ray? That's going to be really good. Did everybody get a piece of paper? Everybody get a piece? If you didn't, raise your hand. Jonathan's on his way to you. I'm not sorry, not Jonathan. Sit down, Jonathan. Ashton, not Jonathan. All the same family. Who needs a piece? These are very unique pieces. They're handmade and therefore unmeasured and all different sizes because I did them. I want to ask you a question this morning to start. Our text is going to come from 1 Peter, and in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read about 10 or 12 verses. But I want to ask you this question, and so if you have a pen or pencil ready, just for your question, just for your sheet of paper, do not peek at your neighbor. This is just for you and just personal for you. My question is it possible? Is it possible to live a focused and undistracted life anymore? Is it possible to live a focused and undistracted life any longer? Yes or no? Is it possible to live a focused, undistracted life any longer? And then once you answer that, I'm going to ask you simply to write two or three. I only gave you a small piece of paper because I didn't want you to fill it up. Two or three things, ideas, happenings in your life that distract you. Write a couple of those down. Things that distract you. There was a time not too long ago that the only game in town on Sunday was church. It was the only thing going on. It was the only game in town. And when Sunday rolled around, everybody went to church. And when you wanted to do something, everybody showed up at church. And there was always something going on at church on Sunday. Now in communities everywhere, when Karen and I were leaving this morning, there was a Suburban full of Little League baseball kids in their uniforms at 8 o'clock going to play a baseball game. So now we have baseball games all day on Sunday, or softball games. We have Walmart open 24 hours. Hours a day. We have malls and all of these things to do in our lives, that church is not the only game in town anymore. And I have to think that in my mind that our churches are not full today because of all the distractions around us. We are so distracted. And I know on your list today there's some things in your life that you are that distract you. The internet. I mean, you can Google your whole Sunday away. You can sit in bed and Google your whole Sunday away. Hey, let's be honest. When it sprinkles outside, it keeps Christians at home. It distracts us. If the wind's blowing in the wrong direction, oh, I can't go to church today. It distracts us. Any little thing that happens or goes awry in our lives that is not the norm, it distracts us from what we are supposed to be doing. And I know in my heart that it has affected the church, and that our churches are not full today because people are distracted by so many other things. And you know what? That makes me so sad. That makes me sad that people are so distracted by other things. But it's even worse than that. Even something happening worse than that is people that are distracted about their relationship with Jesus. In our personal lives, we get distracted about our relationships with Jesus. Think about it. When was the last time that you read your Bible all week long? When is the last time that you closed the door and got on your knees and spent time with Jesus just in prayer? When is the last time you did that day after day after day after day? When is the last time that you opened your Bible and it just wasn't words you were reading, but you were studying God's Word and you were praying on God's Word and you were meditating on God's Word? You see, many of us can't say that, yes, Billy, I do that every week, because we get distracted. We have things that pull us away from exactly what it is we're supposed to be doing. And so the distractions not only hit us in the church, but they hit us in our personal relationship with the Lord. And Peter says very boldly, this is not supposed to happen. This is not supposed to happen. God's people are supposed to and need to stay focused about the good things in their life. And so he goes ahead in our passage of Scripture today and he tells us what it is, how to avoid being distracted. And what are we to do in order to stay focused on God and what He loves? So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 13 this morning. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Verse 18. For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. 21. Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for all of your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. Amen. And this is the Word that was preached to you. You see, distractions are a part of life. And what Peter's telling us here, distractions are part of life. Therefore, you and I need to be prepared to do battle against these distractions. Notice in verse 13, he says, therefore, prepare your mind for action. Prepare your mind for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace that is to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So I ask you to list your distractions. Could you say it this way? Billy, I'm listing my enemies. What did you list? Look back at your, I don't want you to tell me, but look back at your list and just get them right back in your mind. If I were to list my enemies, Billy's enemies, certainly on the top of my list is the devil. Satan. He should be on the top of everyone's list. And then maybe you include some people that's hurt you really bad. Maybe you include some things in your life. You know, one of the biggest distractions to me, don't laugh. Promise you won't laugh. Food. It's a distraction to me. I mean, look at me. Yeah, amen. You can say that too. It's okay. Food is a distraction. TV is a distraction. Music, in some form or fashion, is a distraction. We all have these distractions in our life, but at the very top of our list, we should have the devil. He should be at the very top of your list. And then you may have some other distractions that are listening, are listed, that maybe something terrible happened in your life that hurt you deeply, someone that never apologized. But I am sure not a single one of us would have added the word distraction to our list of enemies. Just simply distraction. Do you realize a distraction is from the enemy? Think about that. The devil's the enemy. In fact, a distraction is one of the devil's biggest tools to get you off track. It's one of the devil's biggest tools to get you thinking something else, to get you reacting to something else, to get you off track to what God has especially for you. During the days of Peter, there was a Roman emperor. You may remember him. His name was Nero. And he promoted homosexuality. He would parade his little kids, his little lovers in the streets. He was a distraction to an entire century of Christians. He would do horrible things to the Christians, so what it did to Christians was it instilled a sense of fear. It instilled a sense of discouragement in the hearts of those Christians. And Peter addressed and was addressing this discouragement by telling them how great is our God. And now he addresses the fear factor because it was their distraction at that time. They were afraid. Maybe that's a distraction of yours that you're afraid. You see, it was the thing that got these particular Christians off course with their relationship in Christ because they were afraid of what was going to happen to them. We certainly may not have fear. We certainly may not have fear as our distraction, but make no mistake about it, we all have our own distractions. We all have things that remove our eyes from the Lord, that take our eyes off of Him. And Peter would have to write the exact same thing to me and you as he is this morning, reminding us some things that we need to do to be able to battle whatever those distractions are that we face. So first this morning, we have to have a mental discipline about our spiritual life. A mental discipline. Notice verse 13 again. Therefore, prepare your mind, be self-controlled, set your hope on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. It says, prepare your mind for action. It does not say prepare your mind in case something happens. It's going to happen. There's going to be distractors in your life. There's going to be things that try to take you off course in your life. It does not say prepare your mind in case. No, it says prepare your mind for action. Distractions in your life are coming, and we have to be mentally prepared to do battle with them, with these distractions, as they come into our life. I'm reminded of the Olympics. Man, those people are so mentally focused, those Olympians. Not only do they put their body through torture and their body through a great regime, a regiment of trying to train it, but their minds are so trained. And you can almost see all the way through those Olympians' eyes as they're sitting there, if like a pole vaulter, a high jumper, or even a sprinter. Before the race, they visualize every step that they're about to take. They visualize where the pole is going in the box, how my body is going to be in the air. They visualize every single move before it happens. In other words, they are preparing their mind. They are preparing their mind for what it is that is about to happen. And you and I, before we take to the field of life, we're reminded that we should be prepared for the distractions that are coming against us. Notice the second sentence in this verse is where it says, I must be sober-minded. The Bible, the NIV says self-controlled. I must be sober-minded. In other words, I must be able to think clearly so that I can see the whole picture. So I can see that everything's going on. I need to see the whole picture as to what these distractions are trying to do to my life. Let's say I'm taken over by a distraction, and let's say it's a very attractive distraction, which in my case is a big steak. Am I going to think clearly enough about the consequences of that distraction and yielding to it and what that distraction will do to me down the road? What's the consequence of the distraction? I hate it when I have to tell someone. As a pastor, I hate it when I have to tell someone, you know what? Sometimes God gets our attention. God snaps us in place. I know He has me. He snapped me up just like my daddy used to do. And remind me, Billy, you're not in charge, dude. You think you are, but you're not. And He snatches me up because I got caught by a distraction. And now my relationship with God or my relationship with my family is being hurt because of the distraction that happened in my life. You and I have to be very clear-headed enough to see the whole picture, to think the whole thing through and call it for what it is. It is a distraction, and many times it is straight from Satan. It is from the devil to remove us, to take our mind off of what God has for us to do. You let a church start rolling and the Holy Spirit start filling that place. The devil will send distractions to distract us off of what our purpose is. The devil will try to penetrate the very center of what that church is doing to try to take our focus off of that and put it on each other. Put it on something in the church. We need to set our minds on the finish line. Know the clear picture of where we're heading. Setting our mind on the finish line, it throws a lot of those distractions to the sidelines. There was a book once written that don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small. It's all small stuff. And we sweat it day by day by day. And those distractions send us to the sideline. I can't even tell you where I read it, but it said like 80% of the things that we worry about never even happen. 80% of the things that we worry about every day never even transpire. Think about that. You think that's not a distraction? Worry's not a distraction in our life? You know, I'm presently and constantly and always trying to take care of my weight. And I'm about 50 pounds, believe this or not, I know you're not going to believe this. About a year and a half ago, I was 50 to 60, no more than that, maybe 3 years ago. I don't know, I was about 60 pounds heavier than I am now. I was pushing 300 pounds, I was about 275 or 280. And I didn't walk anywhere, I waddled. You know what I mean? And my dad and his whole family have heart issues. And a lot of it is genetics, and there's not much you can do about it. But my dad died a few years ago, so I made this, you know what? I'm going to try to live this thing as long as I can. Because I was just about another cheeseburger away from being gone. I was not exercising. I looked awful. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And so Karen started working with me, and we started watching my health. And so I lost like 60-something pounds, and I felt great. I was running every morning, or walking, running in the morning times. Karen and I were eating healthy. And then all of a sudden, I'm out walking. We're just strolling around. We're not even exercising, and I thought I had heartburn. I'd never had heartburn before. I didn't know what it was. I went to the emergency room that night, and they said I need to go have a treadmill test. I went and had a treadmill test, and I have one every few years because of my family history anyway. So when I got on this treadmill test, I fired it up because I've been running every day. That treadmill test didn't bother me a bit. And he said, you know what, you got one lead. I want you to go get checked. Out of the 10 leads, I'm unsure. So last June, I stroll in that office to tell this heart doctor, you're an idiot. I just smoked that test. There's nothing wrong with me. He said, well, I want to check that lead. He said, we can do it all these different ways. And I said, I just want you to do it whatever way tells me 100%. What is it? What's going on? So they did the heart cath. They stuck the thing in me and went up in there. And my widowmaker was 99.3% blocked. Just a genetic deal. All my other ones are wide open. He said, Billy, a quarter of an inch higher and you're dead. If that thing would have been a quarter of an inch higher, you're not here. Now, you don't think that'll open your eyes a little bit? It makes that state not so much appealing. My sweet little nurse is sitting right back here. She took care of me that day. But the food had become such a distraction to me. I'd let my body get away, my health get away, because of a distraction and something so small. Am I tempted? Yes, I'm tempted every day. I have to turn it off every day because really I can eat more than anybody in the world. I never get full. And if it's Little Debbie's, I'm all in. It's a big distraction. And so I have to realize the goal and realize the big picture. I know that Little Debbie's are not in my best interest. They're not going to help me reach my goal, so I try to push myself away from those things. And you know, church, we have to do the very same thing in our spiritual life. We have to push away those things that distract us in our fear, in our spiritual life. Discard them if they're not going to help you reach your spiritual goal. You see, we have to focus on living a different way of life because the first way we tried to live was a dead end. That's why verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, when you lived unsaved. That life's a dead end. But just as you are called to be holy, so be holy in all that you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. And since you call on the Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear, for you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with this precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. There are some of you in this room that came to know Christ simply because you were raised in the comfort of a church. You were raised in the comfort of a Christian family that raised you in this Christian way, and they taught the Word of God to you, and you knew the right thing to do was accept Christ. And God bless your parents and the home that you lived in for that. You're blessed. But there are others of us, there are other people in this room who didn't live that way, who weren't brought up that way, who were brought up out in the world. And we felt all of these distractions on our life and this world that brought the distractions to us. And we discovered firsthand that the experience that these distractions brought to our life led us to a dead end. Anybody testify to that? Amen. Dead end. Head first, facing the wall, whatever you want to call it. And we had to go through those experiences for us to understand it was a dead end. But here's the problem. If you allow those distractions back in your life after you turn from them, then you're going to hit that wall again. Because many times we'll take our weight, for example. You know, we get on this binge, and we'll go 2 or 3 weeks, and, boy, we're doing so good, and I've lost 10 pounds, and then next month I get on the scale, and I've gained 20. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, we're distracted. And so we turn back to the original, and we end up hitting that wall again. Let me give you an example of our forefathers. Maybe you can relate to this. Our forefathers came to America, why? In search of religious freedom. That's why they came. They came in search of religious freedom. And yet, not very long ago, a federal judge issued an order that the National Day of Prayer is unconstitutional. What we came here for, we can't have because we're distracted by all this other stuff. And the end result is that we're back to a dead end in our country without the Word of God. We had the opportunity to live free. How? By living holy, and we grab these distractions, and it won't be long before we're back on this dead-end road if we don't watch ourselves and keep these distractions. So we've got to live holy so that it is we can stay free. And lastly, we must reason to ourselves how absurd it is to put a distraction before our relationship with God. Verse 20, He was chosen before the creation of the world, was revealed in the last times. Why? For my sake. And through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, stands forever. And this is the Word that is preached to you. A distraction now may bring us a measure of pleasure. That little oatmeal pie, they make them in double stacks now. They're double as big. And they may bring you a moment's pleasure. But then what? But then what? The thing we've always got to remember is that it's always going to be temporary. That pleasure is temporary. That distraction is temporary. And then you're back to the real world, running into that wall, head first. Boom, boom, boom. There's also distractions that create pain, as we talked about in the first century Christian. But we also remember that that distraction is also temporary. It's temporary. The only things that are permanent are the things of God. The only things that are eternal are the things of God. So how can you compare the things of God to the distractions of the world? There is no comparison. Yet every day people choose the distractions of this world over God. Every day. And so I ask you to write those three things down, or a few things down, because I really think it's important that we evaluate the distractions that are taking us away from God. And that we make it a high priority to dismiss those things in our life. In order to do that, you have to be in a constant remind. You have to be in that mind game. Maybe there's some distraction that's keeping you from being a Christian you need to be. There's some distraction that's keeping you from church. There's some distraction that's keeping you from your prayer life. There's some distraction that's keeping you from opening the Word of God. There's some distraction that's hurting your marriage. There's some distraction that has divided your family or you and your kids. There is a distraction. Maybe that distraction is lust. Maybe that distraction is the internet. Maybe that distraction is a sin in your life. Maybe that distraction is TV. Maybe that distraction is work. Whatever that distraction is, it needs to be removed from your life. And so I hope you wrote those things down today, because I think they're very important. As a matter of fact, I think they're so important in invitation time that you would fold those things up and put them in the prayer jar. I think that's how important they are. Is that we constantly remind ourselves that is a distraction of the devil. And I got to turn away from that. Would you think about that this morning? Can you ask yourself, is there some distraction that's keeping me from being the mama I need to be? From the brother I need to be? From the Christian I need to be? From the worker I need to be? From the boss I need to be? From the daddy I need to be? the husband, the wife, the student, the Christian, Jesus follower, whatever that is. Father God, thank you this morning for your word, Father, and forgive us for being distracted. Forgive us, Lord, for being distracted from this world of things that really don't matter. But Father, they take our eyes off of you. And Father, may we be spiritually minded. May we be prepared in our minds to do battle against the devil and those distractions in our lives. Father, may we personally remove some things from our life, those distractions, maybe even some of those things we wrote down this morning that would be a constant in our lives, a reminder to ourselves that we need to remove these things in our life. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the gathering this morning. Father, may we bring honor and glory to you. Father, this time of invitation, may we take your word and hide it in our heart. And Father, if it is that you have convicted us to respond, may we respond exactly how you would want us to, whatever that is. We pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand this morning?